Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I hate that.
Protecting against the downside is what they said.
There is no such thing.
See, you know, that's what I said exactly.
Relatable.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 9, Episode 19, The Leprechaun.
It kind of reminds you of that movie, The Leprechaun. Remember with that little guy who goes, I'm the leprechaun.
Garth, I'm the leprechaun.
Cool it, okay.
I'm the leprechaun.
Stop it, all right?
Don't try and steal me, pot of gold.
Why do you hang around with these guys?
Because they're fun.
And now here are host Tara and Sarah.
Is that Wayne's World?
That's as good as this episode will be getting.
Wayne World 2.
Oh, Wayne's World 2. Shall we dispense with the titular leprechaun as quickly as possible?
Titular leprechaun. Yes.
All right. Here's our D plot. Steve has predictably poor taste in St. Patrick's Day stuff. So Janet is doing the actual work at the beat, typically, when Steve races in to tell her he wants to do a leprechaun stunt for St. Patrick's Day. This will involve hiring a little person to play their leprechaun, printing his face in the paper, and then calling for sightings with a promise of a prize, which he is very vague about. He also says that St. Patrick's Day is the day after tomorrow, so the time to have had this idea was either in January or never, by the way.
Yeah. Pretty sure based on the Irish Spring music cue they totally stole from the 80s commercials that never was the way to go.
Yeah, but that's not the world we live in.
Ew.
Steve has already found a little person actor to do this demeaning job, and he shows up as Steve and Janet are having this conversation. It's Danny Woodburn, who you may know from his many appearances as Kramer's friend Mickey on Seinfeld. But here his name is Lou, and he seems fine with this gig until we see him the next day in a leprechaun costume that apparently he owned, because I guess if you're a little person actor, you do, probably. Not sounding psyched about running past a crowd of people and tossing gold chocolate coins at them, well, Janet shoots him with Steve's camera for Walgreens. And when it's showtime, Lou decides he's not getting paid enough for this, and Steve tries to negotiate by throwing in a kiss from Janet. Eventually, they settle on a price. The kiss is not included. And Janet is appalled again, but still does not quit. And I know we get hung up on the logistics of the production of the Beverly Beat, but they're still in the same outfits they were wearing when they took the pictures of, I was about to say Mickey, Lou. As Steve reports that some store wants to carry more copies from now on, while Janet says the Tribune has written them up for blurring the line between journalism and hucksterism, nothing you have done today could have been published anywhere yet, except on the internet, which, like, hardly anyone was even considering a news outlet. Like, the Tribune would not have cared what you did on your website at this point in time. But whatever, of course, Steve is excited that they got mentioned at all. And Lou then enters with a guy in a dirty apron who says that he and Lou aren't friends. He captured Lou in the grocery store where he works as a butcher. Could not happen. He says he's there for his pot of gold. Steve says there's no such thing as leprechauns. The butcher shows them the beat cover with photo of Lou from earlier that day. I am furious. Steve has to explain that it was just a promotional gimmick, but the butcher is unmoved, kicking the door closed, pulling out a huge knife and saying he's not leaving until someone gives him a pot of gold. This is really dark for such a stupid storyline that I makes know. No logical sense.
It's like John Q. Butcher, who then is like trying to make us care by being like single bear. Like,
right.
Sorry, still don't care.
I mean, I hardly need to tell you I'm sympathetic, but yeah, this guy's name is Todd. His fucking sob story is that while he knows there's no such thing as leprechauns, so that's good, he needs the money he thinks he was promised because his son has a heart condition and needs an operation, and his insurance doesn't cover it because it's a pre-existing condition. He has no other options. We don't know how he gets out of this, because then later we're supposed to think Steve wrote an editorial about Todd's plight when he is not even kind of an editor or possibly literate, but Janet is proud of him and was moved by what he wrote. Steve also took the blame for dehumanizing Lou because of his size, and Janet is proud of him for admitting it, and horny also. And then the next day, we learn as they're walking in that Todd is suing them over an article they could not possibly have published yet, except on the internet again. But also they've received hundreds of checks for Todd from the readers who could not possibly have read this editorial that, as far as the public knows, does not exist. It's not a miracle, says Steve, though literally it is. It's a pot of gold. Then this very responsible father meets Steve and Janet at the club on a weeknight to drink to his son's health.
Yeah,
God, this was stupid.
Shouldn't you be at the hospital, shithead?
Yeah. So dumb. Anyway, happy St. Patrick's Day in this timeline. Moving on.
Speaking of green things.
Indeed. David's new girlfriend's got a green card situation. So Claudia and David are at a table at the club arguing about whether she can miss a cleaning shift to go to the premiere of a movie that she interned on, because David doesn't understand what it's like to have a job where your boss doesn't just let you fuck off whenever you want, or any job, really. But at least he has sense enough to offer to help her clean the club in time for her boss's inspection so that she can go to the movie. He thinks it'll be fun. He's an idiot. Claudia is definitely going to have to redo anything he, quote, cleans, unquote. But whatever. It's nice of him to offer, I suppose. Sometime later, David walks Claudia and her dumb hair home after seeing her movie for a second time and saying lots of supportive but probably untrue things about how great the movie is. And they kiss outside her apartment, but she tells him he should go. And because she has not asked him in, as it were, he asks if she's seeing someone else. She's not, but she is moving because her visa expired and she has to leave the country. So Claudia tries to explain her visa situation to David, and everything she says conforms with reality for once. As someone who has a green card, this is also another pet peeve of mine. So she says, correctly, to get another visa, she would need to find an employer to hire her to do a job for which she's uniquely qualified. And not only that, the employer would have to prove that she is. And she doesn't think her experience doing makeup on a B-movie is going to get her anywhere, but David thinks he has an idea. So Claudia is waiting on David's couch when he comes home later. Some movie producer who's a fan of David's show, LOL, might have something for her. Oh. The idea that a producer in L.A. would be able to make a case that he couldn't hire any below-the-line person with local talent is insane. A, B, these are temporary jobs. Like, this would only buy them whatever the length of the project she was working on is. Oh, whatever. This guy wants to meet with Claudia this afternoon. She's not prepared. That David's response is, it's just a job interview, once again, tells you everything you need to know about his employment history. But this producer knows Claudia's whole story, and she's excited that they might be able to stay together, meaning her and David, not her and this producer. But then this guy has to tell them that the makeup job is gone because someone's nephew or cousin or something got it instead. And David tells David to keep Claudia in the country however he can. On the dance floor the next day, David repeats this to her. Claudia shoots her shot and asks him to marry her so she can get her green card, and David is surprised, but he agrees. Oh, boy. This is going to get dumb real fast, but
yep.
That's where we leave it for now. We do have more to talk about, but first, we have a message for Liz.
Jacob, Liz's brother, sent us a very nice note about what a great sister Liz is, including how she got him hooked on both the show back in the early 90s and our podcast 25 years later. Not 100% on your police work there, Jakesy. Liz, your check is in the mail, teehee.
But Jacob did request a list of the ways his sister is a better sibling than any of the siblings in the gang, and we are 100% on the truth of that assertion, as we shall now prove.
Number one, Liz would actually remember that they are in fact siblings and not become inappropriately flirty with Jacob like the Walsh twins were with each other in the early seasons.
Oof. Number two, if Jacob got cheated on with his best friend by Liz's best friend while Jacob was in Paris for the summer, Liz would have her family's back instead of being a no hablo wimp about taking sides.
Fucking Brandon. Three, Liz would not lose Jacob at the playground after, quote, drinking orange juice like David did to Aaron, or recast him three times like the show did to Aaron, but that's a list for another time.
Number four, Liz would actually spend time with Jacob after the traumatic death of a parent instead of being a sad emoji about it from 3,000 miles away like Val did with her kid sibs.
Number five, if Liz befriended and bonded with a heretofore unknown half-sibling the way Dylan did with Erica, Liz would A, insist that Erica cut that floofy mess off her head, and B, as Jacob himself noted, insist that she chew strong enough gum to make sure her hostage note stuck to the airport bathroom door.
Honestly, from Jacob and from your co-hosts, who are also excellent sisters if we don't say so ourselves.
Yes, we do.
You're the best,
you're the best, Liz!
On to the B-plot, Dylan considers getting back into the failing nightclub business. So some broad named Janine Stein introduces herself to Noah at the Peach Pit. She is a restaurateur. Donna has been to her restaurant, Scarlet Moon, God, in Santa Monica.
Oh.
She wants to open another restaurant on the site of the Peach Pit, and she knows that Noah owns the building. And Donna oversteps by saying that Nat is a good friend of theirs, so Janine gives him her card and leaves. Donna and Kelly are both very confident that Noah would never sell the building out from under Nat, whereas I am not sure how Noah didn't sell it as soon as he found out his dad was broke. We will see how prescient my notes were when we get just a little bit further into the storyline.
Yes.
So Gina's about to let herself into Dylan's when he comes out, having just woken up at 11:30. He called her urgently, and she is passive-aggressive about him treating her like she's on call, saying that she was with a client, but she's also there, so shut up, Gina.
Yeah.
He wants to drive up the coast and go for a hike, and she has to explain to him that normal people work. And he kind of gloats that they don't if they don't have to. And as we were saying last week, I mean, he's not wrong. Like, who cares?
I know. Yeah.
You know, if she were smart, she would say, if you want me to hang out with you during the day, book time, pretend I'm training you, and then we can go for a hike. I mean, I actually might be training you in that case anyway, so...
Yeah.
Anyway. Instead, what she does say is that she thinks that people should work, if not for the money, then for the self-respect. Whatever. He's not bothered by her judgment and repeats his suggestion for their day, but she has three more clients and will be available to hang out with him at 5. And he starts getting all testy about her jabs about his lack of purpose or direction, but she does not back down. For once. And it turns out Noah actually should have sold the building months ago, because now he's meeting with Don, a guy from his bank, and expositing that he's 3 mortgage payments behind. So Noah bought the boat outright. Remember the stupid boat?
But, yes.
And was supposed to be old money, but he didn't buy this building outright. He had a mortgage on it. What? I don't know. That
don't
seems
either.
Weird to me. It feels like something that was... you know, for plot expediency, because now Noah is promising that the bank will get its payments soon, but he can't be more specific, as he says in clip 2.
Listen, Don, the club business runs a little hot and cold, you know? And right now, well, it's a little cold.
I'm sure that's true, but...
Plus a few bands just canceled. I mean, right there, that sent me back at least a few payments.
Okay.
That's
the reason...
an NP, not a DP. Tough shit.
Indeed. True, but... If I may point out, the reason no one wants to come to your club is because of David's stupid radio show just turned it into a salon for morons. Also, B bands, LOL. Dan doesn't care. Sarah says that is an NP, not a DP, and says that if Noah can't get his shit together, they'll foreclose on the mortgage. Like, duh, what did Noah think was going to be the recourse? That's how mortgages work. So then Janine comes to meet Noah at the club, which is making weird musical choices, which also might be contributing to its downfall in clip 3.
What the fuck?
I could hear Dave from several rooms away laughing at that as soon as it started.
Gene Rayburn then stalks in.
Seriously.
His little microphone. What the hell?
Thank you.
Boobs. That was a match game trick.
I missed so many payments, I lost my blank.
Yeah, put that in the permanent file, Dave. So Janine has left all her patience for Noah's bullshit in the car, as we hear in clip 4.
There's something you should know, okay? That's a friend of mine.
So you're keeping him and the low rent he pays?
You want a drink?
Not if it comes in a Save the Peach Pit commemorative mug.
And if I've reconsidered?
You're gonna close the diner?
The price is right.
Then I'll celebrate with a martini.
I will join you because, well, first of all, I like martinis, but second of all, and more importantly, Brandon is not here to have a journalism aneurysm Bray meltdown about yet another threat to the existence of the Peach Pit, where he and everyone he knows basically eat for free, which could be part of the problem.
Perhaps. So Noah is making his most painted face yet to go meet Nat on the floor of the Peach Pit across the counter, very professionally, Mr. Landlord, and tell him about Janine's offer, but without having enough respect to be honest about it and couching it as a hypothetical situation. Noah says that friends shouldn't be in business together and that people should be direct. And Joey Tata is totally playing it like he knows what Noah's doing. But then when Noah says that Nat's lease is up, he's shocked. It's really bad acting and directing.
Yeah, it's really bad. And it's like Joey Tata has had nothing to do for years now.
Yeah, seriously.
But he's shown like yucking it up with the kitchen staff in this episode. Like he's still in the credits.
Yeah.
So, but he's actually shown for longer than a split second. So I was like, oh, here we go with this.
Yeah. The other thing is like, well, we'll get to it. So Nat says he'd be okay with Noah raising the rent a couple of percentage points. Wait to see what he asks before volunteering, idiot. Don't negotiate against yourself. But he guesses that it's not going to be enough to solve Noah's money problems. And Noah tells him that Janine is ready to pay double the rent that Nat currently pays. And Noah's already taken the offer. He's really sorry about it, though. Noah, you suck. I mean, not that he shouldn't take the offer, but like, this is not how you have the conversation. Jesus.
No. Also, don't most commercial leases of this type have protection clauses against this very idiocy? Certainly Nat should have one by now.
Well, he says it's up. But yeah, I don't know what the limitations would be on like what terms are negotiated once it's up. Who knows? It doesn't matter because Nat tattles on Noah to Dylan off screen. And then we see Dylan.
I really wish we'd gotten to see that scene too.
Yeah. You'll never get what this fuckhead did. Oh, I'm on my way, buddy. Anyway, then we see Dylan let himself into Noah's office to yell at him about ruining Nat's life with his money grubbing. Noah thinks he has a good comeback to this, but we know he does not. Clip 5.
You wouldn't do the same thing.
I would.
Why don't you spare me the selfless act? You're like the most selfish person I know.
Yeah. But I wouldn't do this.
No, you wouldn't have to. It's because you're rich.
It's got nothing to do with money.
Really? Try losing all your money like I lost mine. Then we'll sit here and we'll talk about it.
So now that you're poor, it's okay to sell out a friend?
No. Okay? What's okay is making a tough decision to get what I need. Even at the expense of somebody I really care about.
Don't do this.
It's done.
Okay.
After you.
Well, I mean, we know that Dylan is ready to throw money down the Peach Pit hole because he's already done it once. Granted, yeah. Noah is right that it's because he's rich and he can afford to lose money out of niceness. But the other funny thing about this, based on what you were saying before about Joey Tata having nothing to do in years, that's like the meta story of like, we're subsidizing Nat because this is his livelihood and he has a family, in the same way that I'm sure the show is subsidizing him. Like, does he get paid for episodes he's not in if he's in opening credits? I assume he does. So like, Anyway.
Who is his agent? Roy Cohn? This is like, he does nothing.
It's true.
Here's the other thing. Dylan, like, no one is really right in this situation, but right. Dylan, who I would prefer to be siding with at this point, mm-hmm. because everyone mm-hmm. else is basically hateful, and at least he's fairly direct about being kind of a wastrel.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with money. It literally has only to do with money.
It does. Right. It's not like Nat is being negligent with, you know, his practices or something. So you can say, well, I'm kicking you out because you infested my club with cockroaches. Like, this is literally just because a better offer came along.
Yeah. Like, cover the nut or don't, but shut up, please.
Right. But also, again, you know, Noah acting like he's being so hard done by because the circumstances have changed. Like, let's all recall, he bought the building to fuck over David when David was running the club into the ground. So, like, this is just what people do with this property. Mm. Of course, Janine has been staking it out. She's probably checked her calendar and been like, oh, it's just about time for someone to mismanage this business. Off I go.
Would you say they put the pit in Peach Pit?
Yes.
Yes. They are the pits.
No.
I forgot Noah did it to screw over David.
Well, I mean, not to screw over, but like to big time him, you know?
Yeah. Which I recall being fine with because David's
for
the
sure.
fucking worst.
Absolutely. So then Noah goes to ask Donna whether she'd put the health of her business over her friendship with Kelly, which we'll get to their whole bullshit. Anyway, she says, of course she would not. Noah feels bad, but doesn't tell her what he's actually asking about. And when Dylan finds Noah at the club that night, it's to tell him that he bought Noah's mortgage and now he's foreclosing on Noah. Thank God, I hate the club. Close the business. Make David go do his dumb radio show somewhere else. We don't have to see it ever.
Yeah. Like in the middle of the five. That Please. Works for me.
My God. Or under it. So Noah finds Dylan at the Peach Pit the next day to tell him his secret sob story, which is he's been short on his mortgage because he's been supporting his mother since his father died. Also, apparently no one remembered to tell Nat that he's not getting kicked out after all and that his rent isn't even going up. They're like, oh, yeah, your lease is
you,
back
like,
and I'm not raising it.
He ties a bandana to the end of a long spatula and starts itching.
Nat's already committed suicide. The Peach Pit, he's just hanging by the ceiling fan, rotating slowly around.
God.
But there's like one free meal still on the counter. A note that says, I may leave this world, but I leave you with one last free dinner.
Oh, guys, you can't do this. We still have another whole storyline to get through.
Okay.
In a bubble bath that night where they both look really dumb, all wet, Gina is proud of Dylan for helping his friend, and Dylan notes that he has found a direction. Oh, this will be fascinating. On to the A plot. Kelly hires a publicist, comma, continues not enjoying her relationship with Matt.
Finally, something we have in common with Kelly.
So at the Peach Pit, where else? Kelly and Matt are stiffly eating ice cream while across from them, Noah and Donna rudely make out. There's something especially disgusting about all the PDA over ice cream because it's like drippy and slippery and people are going to have phlegm. Like, it's just gross. Grosser than
it's
under
Noah.
Other circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah. So attempts at small talk fail as Donna and Noah's over-the-top PDA shames Kelly and Matt, and the awkwardness continues on the way out in clip six.
Tonight was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
See you guys back at the house?
The house? Yeah, I mean, we will... The house. Sure.
Hey, if Noah and Donna are going to the house to fuck, which they definitely are, given the display we saw inside the restaurant, then why don't Matt and Kelly go to the apartment to not fuck? Just a thought.
Or literally anywhere else. Or
get a shared Google Calendar, guys. Come on. Anyway, Kelly tries to let Matt off the hook in clip seven.
Look, we don't have to go home together if you don't want to.
It's just stuff with Lauren. It's a little fresh, you know?
Yeah, I know.
So, do you think you can wait? Till it's not?
I can try.
Well, that's something.
It's a lot.
Ha ha ha!
I heard that, Dave.
I heard it too.
She's such a bitch. Or she's not even a bitch. She just like, she's just a wet end. She's like, yeah. I can try. Like, well, I don't know. Like, get a time frame from him and then just be honest. Like, I'm not sure how long I want to wait around for you to get right. over your wife. That is right. fair. Just say that.
Right. But also for him to be like, well, that's something. And then for her to be like, it's a lot. Like, all right. Like,
you're a lot.
He's acknowledging that you're Coos. Meeting him halfway. Like, don't be such a bitch about it. Anyway. And,
like, Jenny Garth is just, like, not able to summon anything resembling believable desire for or interest in this person.
Mm-hmm. No. No, it doesn't seem like what's holding her up or what like is keeping her here is that she really wants this to work. Like, again, it's the same thing as when Lauren was on the show, which is even if she doesn't want Matt, which it seems like she doesn't want anyone else to have him either.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that seems like it's motivating her here. It's that she doesn't want to lose.
I mean, it must be, because if it was just that she had nothing else to be a bitch about, A, she has plenty of other things she's a bitch about in this episode, not to be yeah. stupid. And B, you boned the praying mantis in Mexico. Just keep fucking what? Him every now and then.
Oh.
Yeah.
But with like maracas in the background.
Yellow bird. Oh, God.
So Kelly has used all the time she's spending not fucking Matt to consider her career. And the next day, Kelly announces to Donna that she has hired a publicist for the store. Without talking to Donna about it, because she is a terrible business partner and friend. And Donna tries to stick up for herself for once, but is, as usual, very bad at it in clip 8.
You already hired her? You were busy with the fall line. I didn't want to bother you. Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. But you're not happy about it. No, it's just I wish we would have talked about it first. I mean, we are partners. Well, you didn't talk to me about the fall line. That's completely different. That's a creative decision. It is.
Kelly, Donna can't even defend herself as being creative, and like she shouldn't, but it's funny that she can't even kind of pretend that she is. But also her outfit, oh my God, the top is fine. It's like a black, you know, scoop neck, long sleeve leotard type of situation. But the skirt is black. All along the hem are these like what look like flames, but then flying over top of the flames is a butterfly. It's like a Guy Fieri skirt. It makes no sense. See it in the visual aids. It's so fucking hideous. Like, oh. Maybe her issue is like, well, if I'd known a publicist was coming to promote my store, I wouldn't have dressed like an asshole.
Maybe her issue is all that donkey sauce.
It probably is. Oh. Anyway, oh. The publicist's name is Pia.
And now coming to the stage is Donkey Song.
Oh, God.
Anyway, the publicist's name is Pia, and she is awful in clip 9.
Sorry, I'm late. Drug rumors involving a client. Major star. Very hush hush.
Pia, this is Donna. Donna, this is Pia.
Hi. Skybar? Barfly? I put them on the map. Do what I say, and I'll do the same for you.
Okay. I mean,
Skybar, Barfly, Flywheel, Wheel of Fortune. Like, what are you? Take another 8 seconds and, oh, Jesus. Why do I care?
I know. Anyway, in his office, meanwhile, Matt is meeting with an extremely smug engaged couple who met on a trading floor and are using this nobody for their prenup as if. Speaking of as if, Matt tries to talk them out of giving him their business in clip 10.
Why, if you don't mind my asking?
We're brokers. We protect against the downside. That's what we do.
Well, of course, what you do is your business, but in my experience, marriage isn't like trading. You know, you can't hedge your position.
Sure you can. And we want you to help us do it.
And it's an easy $375, so stop projecting your bullshit and take the money.
Well, even leaving aside how broke we've been given to believe he is, like that he would be turning down any kind of business at all.
Really?
The idea that a lawyer would be aghast by a couple seeking a prenup is dumb. Like, he's a lawyer. He understands how this works.
Yeah, he does.
moving on. At the apartment, Kelly and Gina talk about the publicist. Gina immediately sees an opening and tries to drive a wedge between Kelly and Donna by suggesting that Donna just thinks it's a bad idea because it wasn't hers, and that Donna doesn't think Kelly's good for anything more than folding her t-shirts. And Donna comes home just then to a table all fancily set for three, you know, like you did all the time in your early 20s with your roommates. Never. Anyway, to
your
Kelly's
dark,
question.
Clear cobalt glue glassware.
God. Yes. Oh, like nice. There's a fucking tablecloth on it. Like just all sit in front of the TV and watch studs like a normal pair trio of 20 somethings. But whatever. Okay. To Kelly's question, Donna says she's thought about it and she doesn't want to hire Pia. And Kelly immediately lets Gina know how easy she is to manipulate in clip 11.
And I know you disagree, but I just feel the store's doing well.
Yeah, sure, it's doing great. Your designs are selling. Sure, it's all very rewarding for you, but it's not for me.
Well, we're in this together. It's just I handle the design end, you handle the business end.
Which amounts to little more than cashing out the register at the end of the night. Donna, I want to do more than folding your t-shirts.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm sorry you feel that way. I don't think the hiring a publicist is the solution.
What possible harm could it do?
Well, she could promise more than we can deliver. She could raise expectations.
All of which we can fulfill.
So you're going to hire her even though I don't approve, right?
I handle the business end, remember? Pia is strictly business. If you'll excuse me, I'm gonna go give her a call and let her know that she's set.
Oh, sorry.
Look, I know this is none of my business, but it kind of sounds to me like this publicist doesn't really appreciate your work. So I don't get it. I mean, if Kelly still wants to use her, I mean, doesn't that make you wonder whether or not she really appreciates it either?
I mean, it's just so obvious, but she takes such joy in it, and therefore, so do I.
She does, but at the same time, like this, you know, if you're going to be chaotic evil, don't do it with the two people that you live with. Like, you're just going to be making awkward situations for yourself later. You know, yeah. I don't get what her end game is here other than just to make people unhappy, which, I mean, fine, I guess.
Yeah. And
so,
I'm good.
Pia comes to the apartment for a meeting. Donna's not there, but Kelly assures Pia that Donna will be fine with whatever they do. And also, Gina invites herself to sit in on the meeting for no apparent reason, and Kelly is too much of a wuss to kick her out. She's also really showing how unqualified she is to handle business affairs for the store in clip 12.
What you need is heat, and the easiest way to generate that is with a gala opening.
We've already had an opening.
And who came?
Mostly our friends.
And was it covered in the trades?
Well, no.
Then it never happened. Now, if I organized an opening, you'd have the three jewels of the publicity crown. Celebrities, media, and hype.
Why would celebrities and the media come to a phony opening of a store that's already been open for 6 months?
Simple. Because we pay them to be there.
Pay them? And that's okay?
Standard operating procedure.
Oh, I don't know. Their being there wouldn't have anything to do with Donna's designs, and I don't think she would like that very much.
Yeah, but you just said she'd go along with whatever you guys agreed on, right?
Gina, can you just give me...
Well, if you doubt that, you could just not tell her.
You mean keep it a secret?
Well, yeah. Kind of like this meeting.
How would it not be about Donna's designs? It's an opening for the store that sells them.
I mean, I think the issue is like, well, if I have to pay people to, you know, see and be seen, then I don't want to do it. Like,
but she doesn't know that yet. Like, she hasn't spelled it out.
She wasn't even given the option of deciding for herself.
Right.
I mean, as it turns out, she doesn't want to do it that way because she's an idiot purist, but whatever.
Right. Anyway, Kelly sadly sits down with Matt in the courtyard. He's dealing with his own shit and tells her about the prenup couple and surprise. Kelly and Matt are both opposed to prenups. Who cares? At the store, Donna is spinning out about Pia's second opening idea, when Donna says she thinks it's stupid, Kelly angrily says it was her idea, which we know it was not. But after she stomped out, Noah, who should maybe be somewhere dealing with his own business issues, asks why Donna doesn't respect Kelly. Donna says she does, but that she's not she's comfortable with the business doing fine because great doesn't last. This is classic Donna fear of success. But, you know, in that respect, it's, I guess, in character and like consistent, but it's still dumb of her. Although she ends up getting proved right. Spoiler. So Kelly and Donna in their outfits for this party look fucking ridiculous. They look so dumb. Donna's hair at least looks good. That's one nice thing I can say.
Yeah.
But Kelly is in like an Adina Monsoon leopard print like coat with a fur collar. And Donna is in, I believe, like a satin red bustier and then like a sheer marabou trimmed like jacket thing. It's so bad. Obviously, this is in the visual aids.
It's
but
like
it's
if
hideous.
Like Zsa Zsa hooker wear. It's so wrong.
Yeah, it's very bad. Not the way to advertise your clothing store.
No.
Where you sell your designs. Anyway. The party's hopping. Even Donna has to admit that she was wrong and it was a good idea. And Pia comes over to brag on herself for all the celebrities in attendance who really believe in Donna's designs. Or do they? Clip 13.
So, this is great, isn't it? Yeah, you could say that. Well, thanks to Kelly, if it wasn't for her persistence, never would have happened.
Right. Her persistence and your money.
Well, yeah, I know. Pia costs a lot, but she's well worth it.
Are you really okay with paying celebrities to be here?
No, they're... No, God, Gina, they're here because they like my stuff.
Oh, no, of course. They love your stuff. It's just that that's not why they're here.
I mean, the store must be doing better than good if Kelly has money to throw away at these people. Like, even if they're D-listers... We all know from that one Radar article like years ago, they make thousands of dollars to show up at parties like this. Like, yeah. This is entirely what is keeping everyone in Bachelor Nation fed at this point.
Yeah. This is the only reason Lindsay Lohan was not literally living under a bridge.
Right. So Kelly and Matt are having a very dumb conversation about the parallels between their situation and his clients when Donna comes over and confronts Kelly, who immediately admits that, yes, all the celebrities did get paid. So whatever this negotiation was, it happened off screen, which is dramatically very stupid, but whatever. Donna loudly makes a scene that ends with her kicking out Pia and all of her, I assume, D-listers. But Pia still shows up the next day to tell Donna and Kelly that the party was a smash because they showed their asses and everyone's talking about it. But now Kelly agrees with Donna that there can be such a thing as bad publicity, and Donna is happy they're back on the same side. Blah, blah, blah. And Matt tells his trader clients that he's not doing their prenup. He does, however, throw in a lecture for free, which I will spare you because it's dumb. And then he goes to see Kelly that night to say he's still unsure and a mess, but clip 14.
And if you're willing to put up with
just about anything, which I have.
Yeah. Fuck off.
So...
what are you waiting for?
For you to be less of a cunt. It's just a guess. Like, I almost stabbed through my notebook paper writing notes for that section. Like, you are so hateful.
Yeah.
Why? I guess it's just not possible at this point in the show's run and Jenny Garth's tenure on it. Like, I guess they can sort of be like, look, this is the storyline.
Yeah.
We know you're not keen, but... tough shit. Like, fucking say the lines.
Mm-hmm.
This has been negotiated. We're done. But I guess they can't make her sell it because she doesn't. Like, she's just she's lady piss face. She's terrible. I hate her so much. So much.
Yeah. I just wonder, like, I would love to know what the issue is. Like, if it's the same as that guy that Brandon took the scholarship off, that, what was his name? Mark? That guy that she was dating for a while, where like the issue was apparently she and that actor hated each other. Mm-hmm. And that's why he got written out. Like, does she hate Daniel Cosgrove? Because he seems perfectly pleasant to me. You know, like he comes from soaps. At least if nothing else, he's probably a pro and not like full of himself.
And went back to soaps. Like, I don't think he's the issue. Who knows?
Right. Yeah. Or if it's something where it's like, well, I want her to be in a relationship, but I don't want anything to happen to make her vulnerable where she seems like she's begging for him to be with her or something, you know, and that's why they have to like write these circles around the situation where it's like, well, do you know, what is your deal? Like, yeah. is it just that you're so horny, you can't wait for this guy to get all the way divorced before he kisses you again or what? Like, it's dumb.
Yeah, again, that's what Dylan D is for.
It really is, honestly. Like, so let's wrap it up. Who is our MVP? I'm going to say Pia, who actually got celebrities to come to this stupid store with its very dumb name and will absolutely get them press coverage. So, you know, whatever her methods or the ethics of same, she did what she was hired to do.
I'm going to go with, what's her name? Martini lady?
Janine.
Yes.
Also a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Least valuable player.
Spoiled for choice as always.
I'm going to say Mrs. Hunter, get a job, bitch.
I'm going to go with Matt. Turn down work because he's in love with Kelly. Loser.
It's really dumb. Let's do the Kim challenge.
Bad, bad, and dangerous to me.
5 ways from this episode that Dylan proved he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. Well, it's mad at this point not to just let Nat fail on his own and figure out whatever his next act is going
to
be.
Yeah. It's bad to take sexy baths. They're bullshit.
It's bad to try and get your girlfriend away from her clients when she does have an honest job. I mean, yes, as I said, it's on her to sell him to fuck off, but still, let her do her work, bitch. She doesn't know that whatever you have going on isn't an emergency.
I think it's bad to be like, I'm going to foreclose on you and not have that be like an action hero tagline in which you then literally drop an entire bank on top of Noah.
And it's bad to hang out in any club that would play music like this. Yeah.
Is this my outro music?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't have a good feeling about my.
Hey, remember last week when you shit the bed? Doing
yeah, I do. Oh, I'm going to say it and try not to spray it. Next time on Again With This, Matt makes an ad. David cosplays Green Card. Gina continues tolerating Dylan's booty call level of commitment. And Donna saves the hashtag MeTooDay for a high school nemesis.
Oh, no.
I'm sure that will be handled with all the sensitivity of a linebacker on ice skates, much like our visual aids, which you can find on our spiffy new website at againwiththis90210.com. You can also buy ads at that website, againwiththis90210.com/ads. I'm just let the goddamn Peach Pit submit to market forces already commemorative mug Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is paid celebrity Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is quashed drug rumor David T. Cole. I fucking did it. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.